Maybe thinking it's only 11 o'clock. So I have a full hour. Yeah, we always kind of plan when holiday falls on a day like this and we're going to be back here tonight, we'll get you out of here a little early. But yeah, here comes heaven. That's what this message is all about. That was my title last week. Today it's the gift of salvation, and give you a little bit of background on where this message came from. So last week in my open door class, I brought as our topic of discussion, but we ended up talking a lot about just praying for, you know, healing for one another, and there was just a lot of discussion about that, and I remember at the end I was just compelled to, some of you know this, some of you do not know this, but I had quadruple bypass surgery 2 years ago, and I was thinking about that in the course of our discussion last week in class, and you know, I would have absolutely totally preferred that Jesus just heal my heart. You know, that would have been my optimal prayer, that Jesus just heal my heart and I wouldn't have had to have surgery, and would have just heal my heart and I go on vacation that Friday like we planned and just go on life as normal. And as I was sitting there thinking about that, you know, that would have been my preference. And I believe God has power to do that. I don't have any doubts about any of that. But as I shared about that, I just kept being reminded of so many things that the Lord did in my life and in the life of us even as a body during that time. And it made me reflective all week. I've just been in this whole idea of a gift of salvation. It just made me reflective on when Jesus enters the equation of our life, when we allow him to enter the equation of our life, heaven comes, and he transforms the whole trajectory of our life. And that's what I've been thinking about all week. Just, I'm going to personalize this, and I want you to personalize this as we talk about this gift of salvation, that he came to earth specifically to bring that to you and to me. And the question then becomes, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Said, I would have preferred Jesus just heal me, and I know he has the power to do that. And I will pray relentlessly for anybody with any sort of, you know, physical affliction. We just prayed about here comes healing, and I absolutely believe God has power to do that. But as I thought about my own life and my own surgery and my own recovery and all the things that went into all of that, I think, man, if the Lord was doing all of that in me and he didn't heal me miraculously through that, but I'm healed, my heart is whole. What about others, you know? And sometimes when we're praying for the wholeness, and we pray in faith, and we pray with confidence, and you know, we never know what else the Lord is doing in a person's life. And so remember that as you're praying, because I'm not taking anything away from praying in confidence and praying with faith and praying with that firm foundation, but we never know what else the Lord is accomplishing, because he accomplished much in my life going through surgery. I didn't have any symptoms for the most part. My wife always reminds me, well, you did have that one time when you had chest pains. One time, it went away, you know, I was fine. But I want you to think about your life. I want you to think, let's get into some scriptures, and I'm going to give some examples in my own life. But I want you to relate this to your own life. So in Ephesians, we have Paul saying this for you. And as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. So I want you to think, just look at that verse. Look at that verse right, you know, where are you in that verse? I'm going to ask you, I ask this question a lot around here. Find yourself in these verses. You were dead in your transgressions and your sins. That's where I was, a junior in college, 20 years old, dead in my transgressions and sins when Jesus came into my life. Where were you? Ask yourself. If you need to write down notes, kind of follow the trajectory of your life when Jesus came into your life and what took place since then, because it is an adventure that never stops. It's been an adventure for me all of these years later, 20 years old, I'm 64 now. So that's a long time of walking with Jesus, and it's been an adventure, and I'm going to go through some of those things, but I want you to put yourself in the equation here. Follow the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. There's a spirit at work in lives of many, many people who don't know Jesus yet. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we who are by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. He made us alive. It's by grace you've been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Seated us with him in the heavenly realms. We're here on earth, but positionally, spiritually, we're seated with him. We get to live above the fray of this world, of those cravings, of that darkness, of the things that we lived in before we knew him, but now we get to live in a whole different realm, even though we're still here on earth and we're still in our flesh. Okay, so in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So I want you to think today about Jesus as this gift that, and you know, you hear this phrase over and over again, this gift that keeps on giving. This is one that truly keeps on giving. He keeps on giving when we have embraced him. When we've embraced him and said, yes, I want to follow you. And that was me, 19, 20 years old. I used to say I was 19, and I did the math once, and somebody said, you weren't 19, you were 20. I was 20 years old sitting in my college dorm room alone and frustrated. Frustrated by, I don't know, all kinds of things. Where my life was going, I wanted to be a journalist, and I was like, why do I have to be here? Why can't I just go start being a journalist? It doesn't make any sense. You got to train for that, you know? I was in a relationship with a girl from high school that was going nowhere. And right there on my lamp, I had put this little card that somebody had given to me. I don't know why I put it. I wasn't a follower of Jesus, but I put this card on my desk. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding and all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Familiar passage. That verse came alive to me right there, 20 years old, in my dorm room, and I said yes. I said yes. I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means for me, but I'm going to trust you. I had been churched, so I knew a little bit about Jesus, but I didn't know him. Did not know him. And from that point on, this gift that he brought to me, I didn't know he was giving me a gift. I had no idea. But the path of my life changed. You know, I was thinking about that. So I was in this relationship with a high school girl that was going nowhere. But if I hadn't come to Jesus, I could have made a mistake. So then in college, I came to Jesus, and that relationship ended. And then I ended up in another relationship which was my first relationship as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. And that was sometime not that junior year, but it wasn't until my senior year. I ended up in this relationship with a lovely young woman. And we dated my senior year and her senior year. She was a year younger than me. And as she was graduating, I was like, I don't think this is going anywhere either. I wasn't in love with her. But I thought, if Jesus hadn't entered my life, now I may have never even dated her, but who knows what mistakes we make, what choices we make when we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have Jesus leading us. This gift that he gives us Instead, I've been thinking about this, reflecting on this all week, and this gift, I don't know, for whatever reason, this week just became so much more precious as you contemplate just the course of your life and milestones and just everyday things of life, not having to figure things out yourself because he leads us and he shows us the way and he proves himself and shows himself trustworthy. It's a gift. This is a gift of God that he gave so freely for every one of us, for every one of us. He made us alive. You know, it says we were dead in our transgressions. I didn't even know I was dead in my transgressions. I wasn't, you know, living a wild life, but there was an emptiness inside of me. I didn't see purpose. What about you? Again, put yourself in this picture. Where were you? And again, not everybody has a moment like I had a moment. Not everybody has that moment. I don't understand that, but I had a moment. But there has to come a place in your life where you come to the end of yourself. And you realize you have to come to the end of yourself. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So in Romans, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. He only died for us once. He only died for us once. He's not going to come and die for us again. So we have an opportunity whenever, as long as we're still here, we have an opportunity to reconcile that to ourselves, to say, what am I going to do with that? He died for me. He died for you. The death he died for to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master. Changes the trajectory of your life. Sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law but under his grace. Now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, this gift, you know, and we know this promise of eternal life, and that's awesome. I'll never take that away. That's an awesome promise that I know when I die, whatever that is, that I get to spend the rest of my life in heaven. Now, I live my life, I don't live my life with that necessarily in mind. I live my life saying, he's leading me every single day. I've said for years, even as a new Christian, I had this thought that, man, even if heaven is not part of the equation, and it is, but even if it were not part of the equation, living for Jesus on this earth right now has so much value, has so much purpose, because we don't have to live by our own strength and by our own agendas and our own. It takes so much pressure off, so much pressure off. Reckon yourself dead. So I remember I'd been following Jesus for a couple of years, and it was some years after we ended up here at Abundant Life. I was in a Bible study. Bill Arne, which is a name some of you know, many of you do not know that name. He was a pillar in this body. He and his wife Martha were missionaries, would go on short-term trips, but he had been a successful businessman who just surrendered to Jesus and ended up just following Jesus in mission work. But he had a Bible study in our house, and I remember one day we were studying Galatians 2:20, which says, reckon yourself dead. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember we were studying that verse, and I was like, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I can't say those words. I reckon myself dead. I have crucified myself with Christ. There's still so much of me still alive, so much of my will and my emotions and my wants and my that were still alive. Even as a follower of Jesus, I hadn't come to that place of reckoning myself dead. I, you know, again, you come to Jesus, you're You don't know everything all at once. You know, sometimes it takes a long time, and it's still going on. I'm still learning. Even though I've been a follower of Jesus now all these years, I'm still learning. I still haven't come to every revelation, every understanding. But reckon yourself dead. So as I was thinking this week, again, just the trajectory of my life, I was thinking, okay, so I ended up meeting Connie. You know, I obviously can't talk about two other women in my life, girls in my life, and not mention my wife. So I ended up meeting, and she was probably waiting, like, what, are you going to mention me? Yeah. So Connie comes into my life, you know, and I knew pretty quickly that she was the one, but I got scared at one point and said, I think we should see other people. I know, jerk. Yeah, that's what she said, jerk. The funny thing is, she did and I didn't. She started seeing other people and I didn't. I never saw anybody else. There was nobody else I wanted to see. Go figure. So I know that this gift of salvation that Jesus came into my life brought Connie into my life. Of course, we went on and we have a beautiful daughter and a son-in-law and a grandson. And I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But he leads us. He leads us. And in the middle of all that, you know, we'd have loved way more children. That never happened. There was loss. There was pain. That's part of the equation. I wish I could tell you that there isn't loss and pain and things you go through that you don't understand. But again, that scripture that led me to Jesus, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct you. He still does that. It's that gift. He's still leading. So then in John, we read these words. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus that night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I'll say that again. These are the words of Jesus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. It's a fair question. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. And of the Spirit. And of the Spirit. And of the Spirit. That's what happened when I was 20 years old. I was being born of the Spirit. In those moments, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everybody born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? See, the only way we can believe heavenly things is receiving this gift of salvation. The only way we can understand the truth, the only way we can understand what's going on in our culture, in our world, in our all around us, the only way we can put any sense to any of it is through the lens of the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus sent to us after he left the earth. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So, again, thinking about my life and the path of my life, I grew up going to church, and I remember a time in the life of our church where we got a new pastor. And this is the first time in my understanding of the church, and I was young, but I remember this pastor talked about being born again. Oh my gosh, the church hated it. What? We don't need to be born again. We've been raised in the faith. We don't need to be born. And he wouldn't last long. They kicked him out. But when I came to understand Jesus, I remember that. And I remember at some point as I'm growing in my faith as a in my 20s, reading those passages and thinking, oh my gosh, that pastor was right. That pastor was right, and they kicked him out. They kicked Jesus out too. He was right. You must be born again. Jesus said it. And of course, I understood that at that point because I knew what had taken place in my heart at 20 years old, that I didn't think the same anymore. The more I grew, the more I studied the Word, the more I put into practice the principles of Scripture, the more transformation kept coming about, and is still coming about. It's not done yet. It's a gift. This gift is so precious. And we can use all kinds of words that describe it, and it can't fully describe it, but do you grasp that? Do you understand that? I know many of you do because I know many of you very, very well. But I want you to contemplate how this has played out in your life, because it is real. And it is transformative. I know that it's happening in many of you. I'm watching it unfold in many of you. So I was thinking about some of the relationships. I was thinking about last week you guys blessed the pastors with gifts, and just you flourished your love on us, and we're so grateful for that. And I never deal real well with that stuff. We don't really, none of us ever want any of that kind of attention. We're grateful for your love for us. But I was thinking about my relationships with Pastor Mark, Pastor Ben, and Pastor Shane. And, I knew Pastor Mark when he was 13 years old. Pastor Mark proposed to Kat at our house on Christmas Eve. Was it Christmas Eve? On Christmas Eve. So we've had this depth of relationship for many, many, many years. Pastor Ben, his family went to the church that Connie and I ended up with in Salem. And so Ben was a lot younger. I didn't know him really much as a little boy. But I remember when his mom brought him here on a Sunday night to a concert night, and his life was a mess. And he's testified about that. His life was a mess. And I remember, it was a concert, and at the end of the concert, Pastor Ben's down front just weeping. And I remember getting to pray with him. And so Ben and I have had this relationship for years now of just connecting with one another. And, you know, and Ben and I don't hang out a lot. We vacation together, so we don't hang out a lot. But there's a strength that we have in our relationship, same with Pastor Mark, that is just there. It's just there because of this gift of salvation that Jesus brought to my life, brought to Pastor Mark's life, brought to Pastor Ben's life, that seals us in. And then Pastor Shane, I met Pastor Shane here we're offering fifth quarter, which is a thing, come into the church after a Crestview football game and play basketball or whatever else. And I wasn't leading it, but I thought, well, I'm going to come as this thing gets started. And I met Pastor Shane, just came in with, actually, I believe Keith Zeitler, who happens to be here today. Keith and Morgan are here from Nashville. And they grew up together. They were best friends growing up together. And here Pastor Shane comes in and I just met him and, you know, said hello and, you know, for whatever reason, remembered his name. And, you know, I'm pretty good with names, part of my journalistic training, I think. And now we've developed this amazing relationship, you know. And so we have this, you know, again, when you guys honor us and we appreciate that, you know, we have this amazing team here. Amazing team here. No one's tripping over one another, competing for attention or we're all in this together. But this is because of the gift of salvation that the Lord has ministered so personally to each one of us. And I know too many of you in this room. But I was just thinking about, again, I've been on this. There's been a lot of tears this week. Just remembering this gift that he brings to us. I remember when I was being called to become pastor here, the Lord had given me this list of like 30 guys in my life. And I had written this list down months before I ever was talked to about becoming a pastor here. I'd make this list, and I remember talking to a friend saying, I have this list, and I don't know what this list is for. I have no idea what this list is for. But there was a list of guys in my life who were of the faith who weren't, and they weren't from Abundant Life. They were people outside of here who had influenced me in some way, who had affected my walk. And I had this whole list, and I remember as Pastor Don talked to me about assuming this position. I remember the Holy Spirit reminded me of that list, and he said, I want you to start with the first five on that list. And there's five guys, Tom, Bill, Dave, Paul, and Clark. Just different guys in my life that at different stages of my life, life of faith, that had affected me. And he says, start with those guys. Tell them what is happening in your life. And fill them in and ask them to pray for you. Keep you in prayer as you consider what this looks like. And again, thinking about that, this gift of salvation that had connected all five of us. You know, one in college, one was the first guy I met when I moved to Salem. One is the guy I met actually at a breakfast at my parents' church. He and his dad and my dad were friends, and we happened to find ourselves at a table together. Dave, his some of his family came here, and he visited here when he was home from college or home on breaks. And then Paul was one that actually I knew from the church Connie and I went with. He was a teenager that I got to influence to come to Jesus, and they became friends that to this day are still in our lives. Again, I want you to think about who's in your life, who are spheres of influence in your life, who are people that have made a difference in your walk, because this gift of salvation. I just saw Sharon and Sharon and Fran just looked at each other like, yeah, that's us, and I'm sure Kim's part of that equation as well. You know, we can't orchestrate those things. Holy Spirit does that. But this gift of coming to salvation, I think about, man, I wouldn't have any of these relationships. I wouldn't have any of these relationships in my life. And who knows what relationships I would have, and what would they look like, and how messy might they be, and or would I even be alive? And who knows? Who knows? What about you? I want you to think about these things. Okay, the last part of this verse. So for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. We know this passage. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's for you today if you don't know him. It's for you today. I'll never forget a number of years ago, quite a few years ago now, one of our men, and actually this was when our Christmas service was on Christmas Day. Surrendered to Jesus on Christmas Day. I'll never forget the end of service and walking forward. And he'd been here for a while. But he surrendered that day. If that's for you today, if that's you today, let it happen. Let it happen. You don't have to figure things out. You don't have to take on the pressures of this world. Let him go. This gift. I promise you. And there's a lot of things you can promise in life, but I promise you, you surrender to Jesus, your whole life will transform. Your whole life, it will transform you. The things that weigh on you don't have to weigh on you anymore. I can barely even remember how I used to think. I look back and I think, I can't remember my old way of thinking because he changed it. I know it wasn't good. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. All of our deeds were evil. All of our deeds were evil. Without Christ, they were evil. Even though I didn't get into a lot of stuff, evil still the same because I didn't know Jesus. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Wow. So in John, here's a really great account. So Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. I love that. I love that. Jesus actually said, you guys do it. You guys do it. And if anybody of you have watched any of The Chosen, we've been kind of catching up with it. It's on Sunday nights on the CW. And so we've been catching up with some of us. So we're kind of behind in the seasons. But man, it's so cool to watch the disciples just learn how to follow Jesus and learn how to do what he did and get all excited about it. There's no other way to live. There's no other way to live than be a disciple of Jesus. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, that caught my attention because it showed the humanness of Jesus coming in human form. He's God, but he's also fully man, and so he was tired. You don't think of Jesus as being tired, but it caught my attention. We needed a sacrifice like that who could relate to all of our weaknesses. Tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well, and it was about noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and did also as did his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up in eternal life." That's what happens when you accept this gift of salvation. A spring in us that is always there to drink from. Always there. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Now, this is interesting because he said, "Call your husband," even though he knew she didn't have a husband. He said, "Call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Isn't Jesus so cool? Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of town and made their way toward him. Emmanuel, I read this because he starts the conversation saying, if you knew this gift, if you knew this gift, if you knew this gift, and I say that to all of you, and again, I know many of you know this gift, so I'm speaking to the choir in some ways, but I know there's probably some in this room that maybe don't know this gift, and I want to encourage you that, man, if you knew this gift of Jesus, I'm not going to tell you all your problems are going to go away because that's a lie, but I'm going to tell you you have an advocate. You have an advocate who will help you through them, who will lead you through them, who will show you a better way. I also will give you just a little hint that within these passages is our word for next year. That's all I'm going to say. So you can all go home and study these passages. At least the context of the word for next year is in here. Maybe not the actual words. The context of the word is in here. So I'll be revealing that word in 2 weeks. Normally I wait till the second week of January, but the week falls like 7 days into the year. I don't want to wait 14 days because I already have it. But within these words, there's context for our word. So, and I'll probably share this passage again that Sunday. And that's another thing. As I was contemplating my life, man, the Lord gives us words, and I, for whatever reason, got to be appointed to give them to all of you, and I don't understand that by any stretch of anybody's imagination, why that got to be me. But the more I receive this gift, the more I live out this gift of salvation, the more I hear, the more apt I am to respond, the doubts I used to have before Jesus, and then even after Jesus, doubts about my calling, doubts about this, doubts about that. But he confirms himself so well. So well. If you knew the gift of God. So then in 1 John, we read these words, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. Just read these words. Pay attention to these words, because you'll hear all kinds of other things about love on the news, about what love is. And God's the author of it. He's the author of it. And there's only one way with him, with that love. I can't go into certain areas right now. But this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This gift of salvation, we get to live and we get to love because of what he accomplished. And it's the best way. It is the best way. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. Boy, again, it's liberating. It's liberating. It's absolutely freeing to know that we don't have to live by our own strength and our own wisdom, and the pressures of this world don't have to tear us down, because he's in us, and we have this advocate, and this gift that he wants us to treasure. And the more we treasure it, just the more he seems to do. So we know and rely on the love of God, love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him, in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. Now, I'm going to just say for myself, an imperfect version of him. But if he's in us, we get to shine. We get to speak peace. We get to offer peace. We get to do everything Jesus did, he gave to us. We can't come up with those things ourselves. So I was thinking this week again. So when I found out that I had to have surgery, the whole idea of having surgery was such a surprise to me, and I wasn't being released from the hospital until after the surgery was taking place. I was 6 days in St. Elizabeth's in Youngstown, and I was waiting for a bed in Cleveland Clinic, and I got that bed on a Saturday, got moved there. Surgery was the following Thursday. So I'm sitting in the hospital at St. E's, and only a handful of people around here even knew anything was going on. I remember, Connie had shared a little bit, probably with, I think, Corinne and Steve, and I shared it with Mark and Kat in the office, what was going on. The Sunday before, I was having a heart cath, which actually what revealed what was going on in my body. I had come into church, and I thought, I need to let some people know about this. I need people to pray with me. And I remember grabbing Sean Danks. He's one of the first ones here almost every Sunday. And I said, can you grab some of the guys when they come in, and I have something I need to tell them? So he grabbed Shane and I think Scott Baldwin and Bobby Cato and Dave Guy. I don't think Ben was here that day. I don't know that I talked to, I think I talked to Kelly either at the end of that service. Only Ben was here, but I remember saying, fill Ben in on what's going on. But I'm thinking about this gift of God, and I was thinking about this gift of these people in my life that you need to ask for supports, because you don't know what you're facing. I mean, to me, I thought they're going to open me up and say, it's just something minor, we'll fix it right in the spot and go home, Or it'll be fixed even before, it'll be fixed when they open me up. Nothing wrong with you, go home. Yay. Well, that's not obviously what happened. I think about just how Lord orchestrates. Derek Petticord is right there in my heart cath. He's with the doctor doing the heart cath. One of our young men right here is there. And I think about all these things that the Lord did in the middle of an affliction. And then I remember at some point, Lord saying, yeah, tap into those first five guys again and let them know what's going on now. None of them live around here. Well, one of them does. One of them was around here, but most of them don't live around here. Tap into them, let them know what's going on in your life, because they're still very much a part of my life. And again, I think about this gift of salvation that has knit all of us together. And again, my challenge to you is think about these things. Think about these things in your own life and how Lord has orchestrated through good times, through bad times, through challenges, through random everyday things of life. Because that's what we have in this gift of Jesus. We tend to live sometimes from mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience and kind of view everything else as ho-hum day, daily living. And the reality is, man, every day in Jesus has some sense of an adventure, whether it's a big one or just a tiny, small thing. This is how love is made. So when I read this passage about this love. Pastor Shane just put it so well in his message a few weeks ago called Family Matters. And if you don't want to hear it, it's on our website. That we get to be part of something where we really do love one another. And you guys demonstrated that so richly to me. I experienced that. And if I hadn't received this gift of salvation, how do people go through things How do people go through things? Why do people go through things without Jesus when they don't have to? When they don't have to. Well, it doesn't mean you don't go through things, but you don't go through them alone. You go through them differently. You go through them with a whole support team. I tell people all the time, come on board, come on board. You'll have a whole team of people alongside of you. There's nothing like it. It's nothing like it.
Oh my goodness, I am taking up the whole hour. Whoops. One final verse.
So this verse is all about Paul just applauding the disciples for doing what they said they were going to do. They were going to give their, bring their gift. They were being used. They were using their gifts to be generous to the people around them. That's what this was all about. And this is what he says. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And then he says this, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he's basically saying, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. This is this gift that you can't fully describe. Boy, but when you've opened it, when you've taken the bow off of it, and you've opened it, and you've torn the wrapping off of it, and you've opened the box. And of course, that's all metaphorical. Jesus doesn't pop out of the box. He's not in any box anywhere. But he's just waiting. He doesn't want anyone to perish not knowing him. But he's just waiting. Open that box and say, I need you. I don't even know what this is all about, really, but I know that the life I'm living now has so many voids, I can't count them all. That there's emptiness. Boy, this would be a great time. Say, yes, Jesus, I need this gift. I need this gift. So I mentioned my grandson, Dominic. So he was at the house last week one day. He wasn't feeling well. But we played hard all day because that's what we do. We played hard all day. And at one point, he likes me to get on the floor and say, okay, I'm going to come and I'm going to knock you over. And so he comes and knocks me over, and then I get back up, and then he comes and knocks me over again. But he wasn't feeling well, and at one point while we were doing this, he said, will you pray for me, Papa? And at first I thought he said, will you play with me? Well, that's what we've been doing all day. But no, that's not what he said. He said, will you pray for me? Because he wasn't feeling well. And again, I think about this gift of salvation. And I think about my grandson. And I absolutely know God's hand is on him. I don't have any doubts. God's hand is on him. And for him to, without any invitation, it was completely out of context. But in that moment, will you pray for me? He knows he has a papa who will pray for him, who knows Jesus. And it was just another one of those emotional moments. That I get to see my grandson grow up when I could have been dead.
We're going to be singing this, choir worship team's going to be singing this song. When you think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me. Listen to the words or sing along, or but respond, whether it's in worship or with it's in, yes, Jesus, I need you. It'll be the best Christmas gift you'll ever get. Let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful. I thank you for this place that we get to come and learn of you and worship together and grow together and cry together and laugh together. And you keep adding people to our midst, and you keep giving us more to love and care for, and you keep giving more that are equipped to being equipped to go and do the work that you have for us. And I can't wrap my head around all of that sometimes. But you did it, and you're doing it. And we acknowledge it. I still acknowledge you in all that I do. And you're still directing paths. So I pray this for this body today. I pray for those in this room that maybe are sitting here thinking, should I or shouldn't I? Should I get out of my seat and go receive, whatever that looks like, receive Jesus, or should I just quietly sit here and bow and ask you to do it? Because it doesn't matter. There's no method. There's no procedure. It's just opening ourselves up and saying, Jesus, I need you. But whatever that looks like, if there's those in this room that are at that place, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Today will be the day when they receive this amazing gift, the day before we celebrate Christmas. That this amazing gift will become real. And I pray, Lord, that for those that already know you, that you will just give people this week, even today, just pivotal reminders of, oh yeah, I worked then, and I worked then, and I worked in this person, and I worked in this situation, and I brought this person into your life, and I orchestrated this person for you to marry, and I orchestrated this for you to have children, I orchestrated this for you to have these friends, and for this job, and for this work in your life. Because you do it all. You do it all. And as all we do is say, yes, Jesus. Just minister these truths to all of us today in ways that change us, keep changing us. All for your glory, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.